Clerk, may call the next case.
20-6169, Robert Sloat versus Hewlett Packard Enterprise Company. Oral argument, 15 minutes per side. Mr. Burke Halter III for the plaintiff.
Morning.
Morning. May it please the court. I'm Alex Burkhalter on behalf of the plaintiff appellate, Robert Sloat. This is, of course, an appeal from a grant of summary judgment. We're asking this court to reverse and remand, and we'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal, please.
All right.
In this employment case, the defendant, HPE, claims that Mr. Sloat was terminated in reduction of force and that this decision was made solely by an isolated decision maker, Terry Flynn. The plaintiff, on the other hand, claims that he was terminated due to his age and in retaliation for complaining about age discrimination and retaliation, and that his supervisor at the time of his termination, Stephen Hagler, made the decision, or at least was very significantly influenced the decision to terminate him. So then the question is whether the evidence is so one-sided that the defendant is entitled to judgment as a matter of law, or whether it presents a significant or a disagreement that would require submission to a jury. And with that, there is one overarching principle in this case, and that is that evidence at summary judgment must be evaluated holistically and in its totality. And I would submit that you would never see a case where that principle is more decisive than this one.
What do you think are your three best pieces of evidence or types of evidence as to alleged animus by Hagler on the basis of age?
By Hagler on the basis of age, we have first, when he disparate treatment, when he first began working for Hagler, he took away his job, some of his job duties, gave them to younger employees. He compensated the younger employees more favorably than Hagler early in their reporting, when he began reporting to him. And then also later on in the connection with this reduction of force that ultimately led to his termination, he made sure these younger employees all had jobs that after this.
I mean, there could have been merits-based reasons for all those things. I mean, if they were just doing a better job than he was.
In connection with the reduction in force?
Just generally. I mean, you know, if he was not doing well and they're really doing well and he's sort of mailing it in and they're working hard, I'm not saying that's facts, but, you know, I mean, that there could be totally benign explanations for all of that stuff. I mean, that doesn't get you, I mean, that far down the field. What else you got?
January 2017, they had a meeting. Sloat was the oldest employee there. Age bias remarks were made about him.
The Uncle Ron and...
Yes, sir. Mr. Honor.
This is all in one meeting?
Yes, at a meeting in, I think, Texas in January of 2017. And then putting that in context with the other piece of evidence that Judge Kethless asked about as far as with respect to Hagler specifically, Hagler also... You know, he reported to him for less than a year, and Hagler asked him at least 10 different times, when are you going to retire? You know, it's not, these weren't mere inquiries into what are your retirement plans, like this report.
Am I right? Sloat was coming into Hagler's operation. Hagler had an operation with people working for him, and then, in effect, Sloat comes in as an outsider and kind of asked, was...
Yes, Your Honor.
Was Hagler mean to him because he was old or because he just wasn't one of my people?
Well, I mean, obviously our position on the record shows that he was pressuring him, pestering him about retirement. He took the job duties, initially this ropes to the ground course was a training program for these sales managers. He didn't want to adopt it. He said, I have no use for it initially. Sloat was able to convince him, look, you know, it's more successful than you need to give it a chance. When they finally evaluated it, they did adopt it, and then he turned around and gave it to somebody else. And
let me ask you sort of a logic flow question here. It's somewhat related, but am I right that if at bottom, in the end, there's no pretext, then you would lose even if you got some animus or some argument about Hagler's influence further up the line?
Yes, Your Honor. As a plaintiff, we would have to be required to prove pretext, but I mean, on this record, we...
Okay, you can get to that. I'm just trying to make sure I've got the logic flow right, that that's a separate outcome and that that would be determinative if we got to there.
Yes, Your Honor. Although I'd only add that age bias in, remarks and disparate treatment can also be evidence to support pretext as well.
Good. Okay, sorry.
So, in other words, I mean, basically your prima facie case here, given the particular facts that you say you have, would itself, that same evidence would create a genuine issue as to pretext.
It can, as to the age bias remarks, for example, but there is additional evidence aside from the age bias that would support pretext. And I can jump into that right now.
Well, I think Judge, you have a question, Judge Clay?
Well,
I sense you do.
Not to interrupt as long as you.
No, go ahead.
Would you like to address the issue of the claim by your opponents that Mr. Flynn made the decision in connection with the workforce reduction program to terminate your client without any communication or interchange between Hagler and other executives and Mr. Flynn, that this was Mr. Flynn's idea and the other people didn't know about it, didn't have anything to do with the decision. And the reason that this is sort of troubling is that some of the conflict or problems between Mr. Hagler and Mr. Flynn were well documented, and I presume that a company like Hewlett-Packard would not have a workforce, someone in charge of workforce reduction who make decisions about employees which would be terminated and which not, without looking at their personnel file that would have their evaluation. And of course, there were some problems as to the evaluations of the plaintiff by Mr. Hagler, and the age of the employee would show up in the personnel file and all that sort of thing. But Mr. Flynn, I gather from his deposition testimony, is making it sound as though he didn't know anything about your client when he made the termination decision. So maybe you could address that a bit.
With respect to Flynn specifically and his knowledge about Mr. Sloat.
Yes, yeah. The claim that Mr. Flynn made the decision without any input from Mr. Hagler, and his claim that the age considerations and those sorts of things did not enter into the decision.
So big picture, if we back up to the beginning of this reorganization when they're planning it, HR tells us that Hagler was responsible for where his employees would end up after this reorganization. He was given the authority by HPE to decide where they should go, where they would end up. We see from the very beginning of this planning process that Sloat is consistently identified as planned for exit. That in the spreadsheets. One of those spreadsheets eventually gets submitted or sent to Mr. Flynn via email directly. And it says in the email, it's like, I think it's three or four words. It says, as we discussed, here's the attachment. The attachment has Sloat identified as planned for exit. Hagler and Flynn also had conversations, one of which Flynn told us during his deposition that Hagler told him that he didn't have a great relationship with Sloat. And he may have told him that as PIP, but telling somebody you don't have a great relationship with them would have no bearing on this. You're going to get a new employee in your organization, and these are his job duties, other than if he's trying to taint Sloat as an employee he's supposedly inheriting his root.
It could be a benign explanation that, hey, here's my experience with this person, just so, for you to utilize however you wish.
Yes, Your Honor, but the record, though, being what it is, and also, too, we're talking about discrimination, but I also want to emphasize, the retaliation evidence and the timeline for when Hagler, when he first complained to Hagler about age discrimination in March. He tried to fire him in June of 2017, You know, in an email, they admit to that. They decide that HR delayed it. They said, you know, he's going to get his targets for his organization, and we should basically hold off on it. And that's exactly what happened. They had the reorganization. So Sloat's consistently identified as plan for exit throughout this entire process. And then at the very end, you know, he shares these spreadsheets with Flynn and his group that Sloat has no job duties or no responsibilities in Flynn's group. But then at the very end, Hagler still sends him over to Flynn's group anyway. So sitting in Flynn's shoes, why am I receiving this employee?
When you say Hagler sends him to Flynn's organization, I thought the fact that that was where he went is done at a higher level as part of this overall operation.
No, Your Honor. I mean, the record shows that Hagler was charged with making these decisions as to where his employees would end
all
up.
His people, he decided where to send them to?
Yes, Your Honor.
Because I saw from the record there were a couple of other people who, from Hagler's organization, who were ultimately terminated. Is that correct?
Four in total, two of which were, well, two were involuntary.
They went to other organizations, not, I mean, technically they first went to other organizations other than Flynn's and then were terminated?
Well, so they have listed on this on one of the emails that Hagler and three other employees were all being let go as part of HPE Next.
Float and three others.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. and that was a decision that was being communicated by Flynn's HR folks, his support.
So the three went to Flynn also.
Yes, sir. So that's what it says. But again, the only one that
or with I'm sorry.
The only one that Flynn, I see my time's up. The only one that Flynn identified as somebody that he terminated of those four was only Sloat.
And so who terminated the other three?
Well, two were voluntary. One was a voluntary termination. One was never actually fired because he continued to work, I think, a year and a half after this. And then the other one, it's not clear, but she was in Hagler's chain of command below one of the direct reports.
Real quick.
But other people were terminated as well. Okay.
Did Flynn meet at all with Sloat before he fired him? Meet with him as his boss?
No, Your Honor. First time they ever spoke was you're being let go.
And right.
There's an email to that effect that says, why am I the one telling
Sloat this? I remember that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Dustin Dow. I represent the appellee, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, in this case. And just want to thank you for the opportunity to have this oral argument in person. It's been a long time. So when we look at the written submissions in this case to this court and the oral advocacy that we just heard, one thing that rings clear is that Mr. Sloat is advocating for this court to expand cat's paw jurisprudence beyond any existing precedent that this court has. Expand cat's paw jurisprudence beyond where there would be evidence of animus on the part of the so-called cat, beyond where there would be evidence of the so-called cat putting forward the candidate for selection.
Cat is Hagler?
Cat would be Hagler, yeah. So cat's paw, you need a cat.
Or is never really worth
right.
For me to
exactly. Paw you need a paw pushing forward, and you have to have that scratch. So there's also, beyond where there would be a scratch, the but-for causation. There's no evidence here that Terry Flynn's selection of Robert Sloat as part of the workforce reduction was a but-for cause of anything that Stephen Hagler did.
Well, that depends on how you view the evidence. I mean, it could be concluded that there's certainly circumstantial evidence that Mr. Flynn might have known or even probably did know about the difficulties that Mr. Sloat was having with Mr. Hagler, and certainly, and it is in the record that plenty of information in the personnel history and of Mr. Sloat that he was having difficulty with Mr. Hagler, and it's. And again, one could assume that a person who's in charge of workforce reduction would review the personnel history and the personnel file of the individuals about whom they have to decide whether the person should be terminated. So a finder of fact could believe, and given the focus of Mr. Hagler over a period of time and what some people would characterize as animus based on age, that Mr. Flynn knew of, probably knew of the problem between Hagler and Flynn. So if circumstantial evidence leads to the conclusion that there was a violation of law in terms of age-related discrimination, that wouldn't be an expansion of CASPAR at all, would it?
But those are good observations, Judge Clay. And so when we talk about an expansion of cat's paw, I think what you were getting at was the but-for causation that's required, where there has to be a but-for cause between the cat's alleged animus and the decision-maker's ultimate selection in a workforce reduction setting. And here, when we have the workforce reduction, what was happening was because of HPE Next, all of Stephen Hagler's employees were being transferred to different teams. One of those, the sales enablement employees were being transferred to Terry Flynn's team. And in addition, as part of that, Terry Flynn was also instructed, once this transition occurs, you also need to make a workforce reduction selection as a cost savings measure. And so when Flynn saw who he was going to be receiving on his team, it included Rob Sloat. Rob Sloat was...
just to interject for a second. So Sloat is part of a team that is all sort of under some rubric that is transferred as a whole, as opposed to sort of, you know, singled out for transfer.
That is correct. Yes, the sales enablement team that previously reported to Hagler was being transferred to Flynn.
Okay. And he's got to get rid of one person, or what's
so Flynn needs to make a workforce reduction selection as a cost-cutting measure. And so he's looking at the employees who are, he's looking at the existing employees that he has, as well as the ones who are being transferred to his team. And ultimately, he selected three employees, one of which was Sloat. The reason he selected Sloat is he looked at what Sloat's job skills were, which was Sloat performed analytics for the sales enablement team. Well, Flynn already had an analytics team in existence. So when he's looking at individuals who can be selected as a cost-cutting measure, it makes sense to select the person who you know, is performing duplicative work that already exists. Now, Judge Clay, with respect to...
Before you go to that next point there, what did Mr. Flynn do to acquaint himself with Mr. Sloat's job skills and to familiarize himself with the man's job skills, which was, as you indicate, a component of his decision?
Correct. So he did have one conversation with Stephen Hagler about the employees who were coming to his team. And we can see in that conversation, Stephen Hagler did say he didn't have a good relationship with Sloat. And
but that also suggests that Mr. Flynn depended on Mr. Hagler to acquaint Mr. Flynn or to provide information to Mr. Flynn regarding Mr. Sloat's job skills. And if Mr. Hagler was trying to get rid of Sloat for age-related reasons, that wasn't a good conversation for Mr. Sloat's future employability with the company, wouldn't you agree?
Well, what I would say is that with respect to that single conversation, Hagler said that he didn't have a great relationship with Sloat. And Flynn testified, and it is unrefuted, that that didn't factor into his decision because all kinds of employees don't have great relationships with
their managers. But you're indicating that that conversation was where Mr. Flynn obtained information regarding Mr. Sloat's job skills, because that's specifically what I asked you that you were responding to. And so Mr. Hagler would have had an opportunity to color Mr. Flynn's thinking regarding Mr. Sloat's job skills. Not to say that's definitive, just to say that there is circumstantial evidence here that the decision that Mr. Flynn didn't make that decision on his own out of thin air without consultation with Mr. Hagler.
What I was also going to say, Judge Clay, is there were additional documents, PowerPoint documents, that reflected the objective job skills that the employees performed, including the sales enablement job skills that Rob Sloat performed that were provided to Terry Flynn so that he could look at, okay, these are the employees that are coming to his team. He's got his team going forward. He needs to decide which of these employees he's going to keep.
Did you say that Flynn ultimately terminated three people?
Yes.
Were all three of those coming over from Hagler, or were some of them his own, or
I believe Sloat may have been the only one that came over from Hagler.
The other two would have been after he melded the groups? Okay.
That's correct.
Of the three people terminated by Mr. Flynn, certainly Mr. Sloat was way, way over age 40. Were the other two below age 40 or not?
I don't recall what their ages were right now, Judge Clark.
All right.
In order to say this cat paw theory applies, I mean, we wouldn't have to say that the evidence showed Flynn was sort of in on a conspiracy to get rid of Sloat. We would just have to show that one way or another, Hagler, or a jury would have to be able to find that one way or another, Hagler perhaps manipulated him to get to that point. Is that a fair statement of the law?
Under the fair statement of the law is under cat's paw jurisprudence. Hagler would have had to have age animus. He would have intended to use that age animus to set Sloat up to be selected. And his age animus and pushing Sloat forward would have had to have been the but-for causation of Flynn selecting him. So even if they're... Even if
Flynn didn't know about the animus, right?
Correct. Correct. Yes, of course.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it has to be but-for causation. So if there's...
You don't have to say Flynn's culpable in some way. You
know? No. And in fact, it's conceded here in appeal. The reason we're talking about cat's paw here is because it's conceded in this appeal before this court that Terry Flynn did not know Sloat's age when he made the workforce reduction selection.
Well, that's what Mr. Flynn claims. We don't... That's not an established fact just because Mr. Flynn said that. I mean... Presumably, Mr. Flynn would have looked at the man's personnel file before he made a determination decision, and that information regarding age and all kinds of other things would be in the personnel file, unless the governor has a completely incompetent person running their workforce reduction.
But Judge Clay, individuals like Terry Flynn who are making workforce reduction selections are specifically do not review individuals' ages. It's solely because they don't want to be in a position of unintentionally engaging in age discriminatory conduct. It is.
Are you saying he doesn't even look at the personnel file? There are only three people that you say he was let go, and you don't even know if of the three whether Mr. Sloat was the only person over 40 in that group.
What I'm saying is that that is unrefuted in this case, is not even contested, that Terry Flynn did not know Rob Sloat's age. Whether he reviewed the personnel file, that information would not have been included. So Terry Flynn was not reviewing people's ages when he was making a workforce reduction selection. Mr. Sloat does not dispute this. In the case before this court, there is no dispute.
Wait a minute. Mr. Sloat, his attorney may not know whether Mr. Flynn knew the age of his client, but you're not saying that as a legal matter, the plaintiff's counsel has stipulated that Mr. Flynn didn't know Mr. Sloat's age. You're not saying that, are you?
What I'm saying is that the district court below, they argued that Terry Flynn engaged in age discrimination by selecting Rob Sloat for the workforce reduction. The problem with that always was that there was unrefuted evidence that Terry Flynn did not know Mr. Sloat's age.
Wait a minute. That's not unrefuted. The only evidence there is that Mr. Flynn said he didn't know the age. There's no, other than that, there's no unrefuted evidence. Or if there is, tell us what it is.
There's no circumstantial evidence that he did know Mr. Sloat's age.
Well, is it refuted in the sense that any place in any of their filings they say, we don't agree that he didn't know his age?
They did. They stated before the district court that Flynn must have known his age, but they couldn't point to any evidence.
Okay, so you're saying that there, at least from your point of view, there's no evidence. There may be skepticism, and there is no concession that he didn't know.
They certainly express.
You can always say I have evidence of X, and you can say I don't believe it. That's different from saying I have counter evidence. Is that fair?
That's fair. But keep in mind, we are in a workforce reduction setting. And to make a prima facie case in a workforce reduction setting, there is a heightened standard where the employee has to show that the employer acted with there has to be some additional direct or circumstantial or statistical evidence that the employer intended to discriminate. And so
I don't know where that comes from in the statute. I mean, this is one of these case law taking on a life of its own apart from the text, but it's not your fault.
I appreciate that, Judge Cutler.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I want to say that I think the briefing and the argument by both of you have really been exemplary in this case, not least the civility. I want to ask one question about just Hagler and Flynn. Was one senior to the other in this hierarchy at Hewlett Packard?
At the time, no, the one is not senior to the other. Flynn is a vice president, though, so he would be senior now. But Hagler was in Texas. Flynn was in Boston. They did not have a working relationship.
But I mean,
report
like,
to each
did,
other.
Did they were they at the same level?
More or less, yes. In terms of supervising
was that
the types of employees.
Maybe.
I'm sorry?
Was DeCourty, there's a name.
Hagler, DeCourty was above Hagler, but Flynn was in a separate team. And Flynn was in a more of a global team, whereas Hagler was at a sales team.
Well, let me just give you my concern about your position in the case, okay? So I think on the question whether Hagler had animus, to my mind, you know, 10 times pestering Sloat about when are you going to retire, that's pretty... I mean, to my mind, that's pretty strong. I mean, when you actually think about it, if you're in Sloat's position, the first time, the second time, it might be like, well, maybe he has a reason. The fourth time, the fifth time, the eighth time. I mean, that looks pretty bad. That's my concern about animus. And then we go to, well, you know, is Flynn in one way or another sort of carrying out Hagler's wish to get rid of this guy because of his age? I mean, Flynn never even meets with him before he fires him, and you know, he just doesn't really. He has a slender basis, really. Now, you give good reasons why. Hey, you know, I mean, there was, you know, he fired him on the merits, but I guess I'm just, you know, why is there? I mean, why shouldn't this go to a jury on those two questions?
Well, Judge Cuthbert, let me start. Let's talk about the but-for causation question first.
Mm-hmm.
On the Sharp case that they point to is the case that this one is on all fours with. The decision maker told the supervisor, give me a recommendation of who I should select for the workforce reduction. And the supervisor did that. And so you had a clear connection where the decision maker was relying on the information for the workforce reduction that the supervisor provided, that the CAT provided. Here, you have to remember that all of Hagler's employees were going to different teams. So Flynn had to make a decision in the context of HPE Next and in the context of these employees being transferred in, okay, who am I going to keep and who am I going to select for the workforce reduction? Sloat, who had volunteered for an analytics role approximately 11 months earlier, had performed analytics job duties that Flynn already had in existence on his team. So he's being pressured to cut costs. Sloat performed job duties that were duplicative of what already
existed. We could say the same thing about the other person who did it. Their duties were arguably duplicative of Sloat.
Are you referring to Sandy Connor?
I don't know.
Okay, so
the person you're, you know, he already had an analytics person.
Oh, so he, yes, he had.
So one could say, well, that person was just as duplicative as Sloat was in this respect.
Certainly.
They both did analytics.
Sure, you could. So you have to choose one of them, and he had an analytics team that he already knew and already reported to his analytics manager. So, you know, it at the end of the day, it's an analytics position that Sloat volunteered for that was Flynn's ultimate decision to. To determine if you would permit me to answer the previous question about age animus, I'd be happy to. But
well, you're out of time. That if Judge Kethledge wants you to say more, we'll
maybe 30 seconds.
Okay.
All right.
That's right. You were asking about the questions about retirement. What Mr. Sloat testified to at his deposition is that he said that Stephen Hagler did ask him about 10 times, when are you going to retire? And Mr. Sloat testified that it was always in the context of Sloat sending Hagler complaining emails about being unhappy with this job and complaining about his job role on Hagler's team. And so that was in the context of Hagler asking him, so when are you going to retire? It was, there wasn't an age-based component to
okay.
the questions. And Mr.
That's
Sloat is
this.
Okay, thank you.
Not get in trouble.
I agree. And we'll have rebuttal. Counsel, your opposing counsel seems to suggest that you somehow
agreed or possibly conceded that Mr. Flynn did not know your client's age. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, early on and at the district court level especially, we argued, to your point, it only makes sense that somebody would review their employees that they're receiving into their organization as, you know, the personnel files as their ages and who they are. But also, prior to this reorganization, there is some emails where Sloat and Flynn had some interaction regarding this training course, and that he would have seen him on a Zoom type or a Skype call type situation. So he would have seen him that he was an older employee, but he wouldn't, you know, as far as his actual age or how old he was, I don't think there's anything in the record that says he knew that Sloat was a 61-year-old at the time.
Well, what I was understanding is there's nothing in the record where Flynn conceded that he knew the age, and nothing in the record where Flynn conceded that he did not know the age. Is that a fair statement?
It's fair.
All right.
Was the personnel file discovered? Did you have, or Sloat?
They denied that he saw, he reviewed any of those things.
I'm sorry?
Flynn denied that he's...
No, I'm just saying that you have... Judge Clay's sort of supposition is that the personnel file must say he's 61 years old. Have you looked at the file and put it in the record that it's in the personnel file?
I believe that in the record on appeal, it's not on the okay. his age. I mean, he knew that he was...
No, but I mean, it simply as a fact, is it in our record that it's in his personnel file?
And I don't think so, Your Honor. I don't want to miss...
All right, that. Okay.
I just to follow up there... I think Judge Boggs was asking whether the personnel file is in the record of the district court in this case, in which case, obviously, we'd have access to it. Was it put in the record in the district court?
As far as Sloat's age?
The personnel file, I mean.
Sloat's personnel file, the entire personnel file, I'm not sure if it is. The entire personnel file.
You don't know?
It would be a record.
You don't know if it's in the record or not?
Well, as far as his personnel, like his personnel file,
yeah,
there's documents showing. I think it's showing his age.
Well, no,
but not his personnel file.
The personnel file. You don't know whether the personnel file is in the record, was put in the record in the district court or not. Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to misstate that it is or not, Your Honor. So I'm not. I'm,
all right.
I'm sorry. Just going back to this. You know, we have the decision maker. We have Hagler making these decisions in connection with. The reorganization, I wanted to address that because, you know, his decisions that he was making materially and significantly contributed to Sloat's ultimate termination by putting him into Flynn's group at the end of this planning for this reorganization. So we argue that his conduct rises to the level of a decision maker and what he did. But in the alternative, you know, cat's paw would apply because he then not only transfers him into this other group where they say they already had.
He transfers him. Hagler.
Transfers Sloat.
Hagler make the decision for his whole team to go to Flynn?
Yes, Your Honor.
Not made higher up?
No, Your Honor.
He just told Hagler, send your team any place you want?
And that's very clear in the Senior Vice President of HR, Seema Iyer, her testimony. She says Hagler was responsible for deciding where his employees would end up in connection with this reorganization.
Sloat in a group of three people over there.
It's a group, yeah, I think so. But he also, I think Hagler's team was dividing up into three different groups, and he was putting his team in different places. All the other direct reports had roles in different
groups. I mean, what do you have that Hagler ultimately directed this decision? I get that part. Flynn had his own analytics person. I mean, what's your best piece of evidence in the time you have that, you know, Hagler made this happen?
He evaluated Sloat as low impact employee if his role was terminated. That came from, you know, Hagler's decision making,
okay.
And then he made the decision at the end to plan him for exit, and at the very end he transferred him to his other group.
Flynn would have seen the stalled and all that.
The stalled
rating that he got.
I think he would have. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, we'll chase that down.
Well, there is some things in record about Sloat disputing his employment evaluation at various points in time.
Yes, Your Honor, he disputed he strongly disputed it. And to Judge Kethledge's question, he was, I think Flynn testified he may have been told about the PIP that he was placed on as a result of the stalled evaluation that Sloat disputed.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Case may be submitted. And